Please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. I gave the elders and deacons a little bit of a heads up about tonight. I'm planning on a different, an experimental, hopefully regular occurrence, a different format on some Wednesday nights. In an effort to encourage interaction and more than just like a school lecture or a sermon, we're going to be doing a series of discussing the Proverbs, not every Wednesday, but for hopefully for a while over several Wednesdays, where we're going to have a different format for our studies. It's going to begin with an introductory teaching of the passage, of the section. I'll try to lay it out for us so we can have a general idea of what we're looking at. And then we'll divide up into small groups that I've already picked. So just so you know, it's going to be fun that way. And my reason for doing that is because so often, if we do groups, it'll just be family units. And that's good and fine and great. But here, what I think one of the benefits is if we can mix up our families with different men kind of just guiding the groups through the questions, it will hopefully encourage every individual to maybe participate a little more. Or actually, one of the thinking of is perhaps Tom could elbow Josiah better than I could in our times of lessons and to answer questions. Or that perhaps Warren could do the same for Toby, where Stefan couldn't. So the idea is, and I don't know if Toby, if you're in his group or not, I don't know. I picked you out of a lineup there. But the idea is, I want us to be in groups where we can learn together and be sharing together both our experiences, particularly as it relates to wisdom. And trying to best think through these biblical ideas. So first section will be some teaching. Second will be group interactions, answering questions. I've got probably way too many questions on your handouts now. I'll figure that out better as we go along. And then after we have a time of discussing and some questions, we'll then come back together. And if my hope is that as you're working through a question, like just look at your handouts there. Like, for instance, the Roman numeral, was that one? Yeah, one under A. It says, what is the difference between listening or hearing something and inclining your ears to hear something? So let's just say you start talking about that question, and someone brings up various either passages or stories in Scripture to help kind of talk about that, or you go along a small discussion. You might even get off on a rabbit trail that's related to it, but you're trying to work through wisdom in applying God's word in the small group. So we'll walk through those things, and then as we come back together as a big group, we'll talk about either the question that was asked, or maybe Daniel will have had a great rabbit trail question in a small group, and someone in their group will want to talk about that and say, hey, we had this thought, let's talk about this. And again, I want to have this time when we can learn together and work together in a small group. This is not an example of what does the Bible mean to you. It's trying to apply with wisdom the teachings of Scripture, learning from more than just me, and then coming together to encourage one another. So that, and then when we come back together in the large group, we'll have that discussion, and then I'll close with a summary kind of encouragement lesson, and then we'll be done. But that's kind of the format. So in our house, as our children have gotten older, and we want to play like game nights, and some kids don't want to play games, we call them mandatory funtivities because you're going to play, you're going to have fun. So this is what I've lovingly termed mandatory interactivities. So this is going to be hey, we're going to try it, and my hope is that it will be somewhat uncomfortable to interact more than you otherwise have, but hopefully profitable as well. Because I know that I often learn better when interacting, than simply listening. Listening is important. Active listening by taking notes and writing down questions or whatever else is important. But sometimes various types of learning is important. So that's what we're going to do. And again, during those questions, as we look through them, I didn't point you to any cross references to like get the right answer. Because I'm trying to get us to talk about applying Scripture. And we try to do that. We're not always going to have the right answers when we're doing things or even do it in the right way. But hopefully we can learn those together as you bring it up in your groups or in the larger group. So again, this is an experiment of wanting to encourage each other in applying Scripture and encouraging each other with lessons you've learned, experiences you've had, Scriptures that you call to mind when thinking of these issues, that we can bless and benefit one another. So again, as you're looking through the questions, one of the things I would encourage you to do is, again, think of your own. You can use your Bible, your cross-references, your concordance, your study notes, or if you have a device, you can keyword search. Again, I encourage you to do all of those things if you're trying to think of your answers. It's an open book kind of discussion to make it profitable. But one of the most important things is interaction. And so that's what I want to have us and try and see how it goes. Again, one of my main goals is for every individual to be engaged, not engaged, but engaged with in the discussions. And the way that it'll break up is I have everybody who's a teen and older set to groups. But like Stephanie and Elijah are home tonight. So if they were here, my wife and my children who are not teenagers would be in my group. So in other words, we'll keep some more order in that regard, but we're going to split the teens and adults kind of in various groups. That's the general plan. So this will be great. I'm excited. And it'll be a lot of fun to hear how it goes, and I'm sure it'll be great. So that's kind of the large picture there. So any questions generally? I know, and I'm happy to take questions as we move on, but questions about kind of the format, what we're doing? Any big questions on the big format? Yeah.
Is there a designated leader?
There is, and it's going to be, for tonight, I've set the elders and deacons to be the designated leaders to kind of, and really the leaders just kind of keep the ship on track or kind of help kind of when you need to move forward to the next question or whatever else. So again, this is a applicational discussion. It's not a trying to find always the exact right theological answer, though those things are important to do, of course. So this is more of just trying to walk through discussion applications in groups. So, and I'll have the lists. They'll be up on the not now. They'll go up in a little bit here. I want to keep your attention at least that long to see which group am I in. So, all right. So, Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 20 to 27 is our text for this evening. And I want to read through this for us tonight. Before I do, I want to ask you a question. What is the largest organ of the human body?
The skin.
Very good. Okay, that's going to be important as we move forward. And I'm going to ask another question here. Because as I read through Proverbs 4, 20 to 27, I want you to make note of the different body parts or organs that are mentioned there and note how they are being used by Solomon in writing these Proverbs. But also, as you're listening, I want you to at least try to think of how you might try to summarize some of these things or the overall message of this section in a sentence or two. Okay, so I'm going to read through this. And we're gonna have some interaction here briefly. Chapter 4, starting verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left, Turn your foot from evil. Now, before I ask about the different organs or body parts mentioned there, can anyone give me a general high-level summary of the thrust of these verses? You want to do that? I'll do it tonight since I was the one prepared. Self-controlled in your spiritual walk. Good. Summary. Excellent. Succinct. Anyone else?
Words are important in the way you walk in your life.
Amen. Okay, good. Words and walking are important in your life. Good. Yeah. Very good. Let's go through now some of the different various parts of the body or body parts or organs that are mentioned. Who noticed some? Just kind of yes, Elizabeth. The heart was mentioned. Okay. Anybody else? Phil.
The ear
is mentioned. Okay. Verse 20, or ear is mentioned in verse 20. Yep. Anybody else? Braden.
The mouth.
The mouth is mentioned. Very good. In verse 24. Somebody else? Toby.
Eyes.
The eyes. Very good. Okay. Peter. Feet. Okay, very good. Anybody else? Yes, Evan.
Also mentioned the heart twice.
Okay, the heart. Okay, yep, it does mention the heart twice. Very good. In 21 and 23. Very good. Somebody else? A couple left we haven't said. That's okay.
Flesh.
Yep, exactly. That was why I asked that question at the beginning. So good, yep. Okay. Braden, you already got one. Let's see if somebody else wants one first. Isaiah.
I don't think body was
mentioned there. Oh, there you go. Boom. I didn't have it written down. Okay. Very good. What's that?
Eyelids.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Eyelids. I think we might have covered. Oh, there's one that we didn't get.
Lips.
That's very good. So we got all these. Okay. And all these are used to call to mind their function in the physical body, but also to relate to the processes as it relates to the heart. So here's just a quick general outline. I'll be brief here because I want to have enough time for our conversations and discussions. Very simply, the breakdown is the first three verses give the organs of reception, those things that are primarily used to bring in information. The ear in verse 20, the eye in verse 21, and the heart as far as holding and maintaining things, keeping them at the center of your mind and of your life. Those are the organs of reception. Verse 23 pivots. There was a technical word for it that I forgot to write down. But basically, the first part of verse 23 looks back to the first three verses and kind of summarizes, again, watch over your heart with all diligence. And then verse 23b goes, for from it flow the springs of life. Now here's a question, thinking biblically now, in what was considered the life, well, like what body part or part of the, when you're speaking about the human body, in what was contained the life of men?
The bowels?
No, that would be where your emotions are. Stefan?
The blood.
The blood is the life. And so when you think about this imagery, the heart, it pumps life to all of the body. And so the picture of the philosophical or imagery heart, your heart gives all of its energy to your hands, your feet, your eyes, well, to your hands. So from it flow all of the springs of life. The springs of life is actually a Hebrew idiom. It means everything you do. And think about that. It's just when you think about the way in which, like a water springs, everything comes from it. So it is a Hebrew idiom. So it's that connection of the idea of the physical heart and the physical blood, which is the lifeblood of men, to the metaphorical heart and the actions and activities that flow from the heart. Now, it's interesting sometimes as you think through the Old Testament, some people think that the Old Testament didn't really focus on the heart or the inner man. Well, you can't but read Proverbs or a lot of places and see that God was concerned with the thoughts and intentions and attitudes of man as well as his activities. There's a lot more that I could say on these, but I think we've given enough introduction for now. What I'd like to do is, again, we can talk through some of the other parts if we have time later on. But what I'd like to do is, the meaning is pretty straightforward. The applications when he speaks of keeping things in front of your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart, those are pretty straightforward, I guess. As I'm thinking here, I do want to say this before we break up in our groups. When you look through this, notice the repetition or the intensification of the language. For instance, in verse 20, he says, "Give attention," and then he says, "Incline your ear." So these two things relate to one another. And so, for instance, one of your questions is going to be, what is the difference between just listening and inclining your ear? Well, like, and part of that help is what it means to maybe give attention with your ears. How do you do that? What does that look like? So those are some of the kinds of things you can use to work through these questions. And if you have questions, feel free to ask me, and I'd be happy to help you with any confusion. And if you're not sure, just answer the question the way you think it is and go from there. That's probably the best thing to do, too. Okay, but also one other thing I'll say is at the end of the chapter, verses 26 and 27, two verses are dedicated to the feet, which again is an emphasis on the importance of the impact and just the watching of the way in which we proceed and act throughout our life. So again, there's the repetition and the amount of information there is often important for emphasis. So. Well, let's break up into groups. So, no, go ahead and flash up the groups. And if your name's not on the group, I'll tell you where to go. But Noah's going to put up. Okay, oh, that's a little too fast. That's way too fast. That's okay. I apologize. That was my fault for that's not Noah's fault. That was my fault. So, I can read off the groups too because I have the list in front of me. I'll start while Noah's working on that. You can pick any of the questions you want to. You can start with just do number two is all you want to do. Just number two under discussion questions. We'll do number three together as a group. So the first group that's going to be with me, and I would encourage we're gonna have to make our chairs the way we want them to. It'll be Toby and Daniel. You're coming up to the first row here with me. Let's see, Lon. You're going to have Noah, Maggie, Julie, and Elizabeth. With you. Phil, you're going to have Hannah, Brendan, and Marianne. Stefan, you're going to have Nathan and Jameson. Tom, you have Josiah, Marion, and that's it there. And then Warren, in your group, it's Megan, Peter, and my dad. So there we go. And then Sherry, you can join my group. And then somebody else. Yeah, the younger kids, so like age sixth grade and under stay with their parents. So I think that if I missed your name on there, I apologize. You talk to me. Sherry, you're with me anyway, so come on up here. But otherwise, go. The deacon or elder leads the group, and they're going to tell you where to sit. So we're going to figure that out. Let's break up and go for it. Yeah. Toby, I love it. Have a seat up here. A seat there. All right, Daniel. I'll get a seat too. And Noah, yeah, keep this mic on. So good. Open up your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 4, guys. Mariah, you stay with me. Tessa, you go to... Thank you. least 12 after. Alright, so here's what I want to do, guys. Let's just throw a talk to you. Talk to application. Bible learning is about understanding the life. So let's see here.
Yeah. Like,
We're going to take about another 3 to 5 minutes, everybody. 3 to 5 minutes. One minute, everybody, and then we'll wrap it up and go back to your seats.
Listen, not to like try to go on the death, but like, oh,
All right, we're gonna gather for a moment, everyone. Is there any particular question that you guys went through where you thought you had a particularly good discussion, a good rabbit trail, or a good answer that was brought up in your groups? Is there anybody have any? We can just turn around and listen. You can see where you're at and just kind of listen, but that's fine. I didn't think all the logistics through. Forgive me. This is night number one. Okay, so any particular any question or any particular rabbit trail that in your discussions that was really helpful or encouraging to talk about and talk through? Anything that you guys had that we can be encouraging to share with the rest of the group? Noah, you had something?
Yeah, I was going to say for question one, we said that listening versus inclining your ear. We kept going back to it a few times throughout working through the questions, but it's more of a listening is kind of a passive activity. You can be listening and not really paying attention, whereas inclining your ear is an intentional, active trying to hear, trying to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very good. Very, very good. That's right, and that's a significant thing to remember and understand. Is it's important to incline to dedicate to give attention to those things that are good. Okay. Any other questions or things that came up in your groups that were particularly helpful in your discussions? Other people, right? That didn't come up in our group, I'll tell you that much, Stephen. Stephen Chose. Yeah. Good. We in our group, we were talking through in letter C. What are some contexts in which you routinely are exposed to speech that is deceitful or devious? Toby had a good answer for that one. I told him I was going to call on him. Toby, remember what you said for that?
Yeah.
Go ahead and share with us.
If you are listening to something bad for a lot of your life, eventually you can start applying that to your life also.
Yeah. The more you listen to things around you, you're going to apply that by often thinking or speaking those same bad things. So we have to be careful, again, about what we look at, what we put in front of our eyes and our ears, because we're going to end up having that be part of our, if we're not careful, part of our life. So Toby had a really good answer to that question. So that was really good. Anybody else? Yeah, Sherry shared with us her what she does to do that, and Sherry, what do you do?
I just gave the example that, like, say I'm really offended by somebody, somebody did something to hurt my feelings or something, and I'm by myself, I'm not doing this in a crowd, okay? And so I will just sing verses to myself, or the example that I gave Pastor was, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil."
Yeah, and I think praying, singing, different things, and what we're doing is we're teaching our hearts in the moments of those difficulties. And again, having the songs or remembering to pray or whatever it might be are the things that we need to, again, call to mind. So, yeah, Noah, one last thing.
Along with that, Maggie brought up a good point to memorize scripture and try to always have that on your heart. If there's scripture that applies to you in most areas, have that on your heart.
Yeah.
It will eventually be pulled more to the right. Try and actually stay.
Yeah, good. Good. Anyone else? Again, and this is kind of a pulling together some of the conversations we've had. Good. I hope this was profitable. Please talk. We got one more thing I want to go through, but please talk to me, you know, after tonight, and just share with me your thoughts on things we can do better, whatever else. Obviously, fewer questions, probably, but what, you know, and things like that. So, but I want to end with a this is talking about your heart. I've entitled this the 1, 2, 3, 4 of Jesus' emphasis on caring for your heart. This is, I've used some sort of this memory device for other reasons, but I want to just encourage you with this. This is going to be very easy. So Jesus talked about very often what you say reveals what's in your heart. Now, can you guess a Bible verse that tells us that? Noah?
I don't remember the reference, but through the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Okay. So it's one of the verses is Matthew 12:34. 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12:34. Where what you say reveals what's in your heart. So you're going to pick up a theme here very quickly. But Jesus also talks about the importance of what we are to do with our hearts. In other words, that we are to devote our heart to loving God. Anyone guess approximately where Jesus teaches or speaks to that effect? Matthew, Mark 12:34. Well, actually, it's about 32 in there, but it's right there. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's in the context of that. And Mark 12:34 says, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Because before that, they talked about what's the foremost commandment. And it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if you remember Mark 1, 2, 3, 4, you're going to be right there where he's talking about the importance of loving God with all your heart as the summary of the commandments. Thirdly, Jesus instructed his disciples that what you treasure, that's where your heart is. The things that you prize. If we're to have our hearts be devoted to God, the things we prize can tell us where our heart is. Can anyone guess where that might be found? Luke 12:34. So, what's that? That's why it's the 1, 2, 3, 4 of Jesus' emphasis on caring for your heart. So, again, we can remember that Jesus tells us that what we do comes from in here, which is why heart care is so important. And in Matthew 12:1, 2, 3, 4, God's primary goal for us is to love him with everything we are, Mark 1, 2, 3, 4. And the things that we treasure, the things that we really value, that is precious to us, will tell us where our heart is, Luke 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a little easy application there. Memory markers in your Bibles of Jesus' teaching on the heart. I'm going to close this in prayer. And then after a few minutes, anyone who wants to practice for the choir song for Good Friday, I would like you. We'll meet up here by at about 7:40. Give you guys a chance to get some water or whatever else, and we'll do a rehearsal. But let me close this in prayer for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for this time when we could discuss the Proverbs and try to be intentionally applicational in our time tonight. I pray that you would bless the thoughts and maybe conversations coming from tonight as parents and family and children are again reunited maybe in talking about what they discussed later on. Lord, I pray that it'd be a blessing and that this would be an encouraging way that we can strive to be more faithful and more intentive and more inclining of our hearts and our ears today than we were yesterday. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.